Hebrews chapter 10. Let's see if we can get down to maybe 10 verses. So last week we found out that the sacrifice that Christ had made was not just an eternal sacrifice, but he died under sin once, and once he comes back the second time, he'll come back as verse 26 says, "For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And we'll pick up here going into chapter 10. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to meet again as we continue to study in the book of Hebrews. We pray, as always, for more enlightenment and for the words to be lifted off the pages into our hearts and minds for a better understanding, and also that we might find some motivation in these evil days to keep us encouraged in Christ. We pray for those who are not here, for those who may want to be here. We pray for the Saints Universal that you might continue to strengthen us and meet us at our point of need. We thank you again for the time we have here. And we just pray that the time would be edifying for us and glorifying for you, to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 10, or chapter 10, "For the law," verse 1, "having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." And we know that because it was an imperfect system, the results would always be imperfect. And because it was a temporal system, the results would always be temporal. It could never satisfy you. It could never satisfy the comer. It could never turn the comer away complete. The whole system was lacking.
Temporary.
You know, that's what I'm thinking of. You know what? You can't get, I know you've heard this, you can't get blood out of a turnip. I don't know why they say that. I'm going to have to look that out. Look up.
Because you can't get blood out of a turnip.
Okay. But, you know, some things, the best you get out of it, it's just not enough. And the law was the best they got out of it. It still wasn't enough to perfect them, or that is to equip them to be the priest, a nation of priests that they were called to be. You know, that was God's original purpose for them when they came out of Egypt. Even then, from years back, his whole goal was to make that nation a nation of priests, an instrument for his use. And because they could not, the system they were under, it didn't matter if it was a year, 10 years, 20, 2,000 years. The system could not do it. The law. It could not do it. Not because the law wasn't able to do it, because we know from last week that it was what? And that it was weak through the flesh. It was weak through them. The weak link in the system was them. They didn't have what it took to keep the law. I saw you look now.
Well, I just noticed when you were reading that in verse 2 it makes reference to consciousness. And when we had looked in chapter 9 where it talks about could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience.
Right.
And then again, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So I guess it's the, is that kind of speaking to the inner man?
Definitely, because what we talked to, even conscience is, the word itself is with knowledge.
Okay.
Science is the short word of knowledge. Conscience is con, which means with. So they always came with the knowledge that I'm falling short. They came with that knowledge, and they left with that knowledge. That even though they offered the required sacrifice, they knew, you know what, it's still something wrong with me. Even though they made the required sacrifice, the guilt was still there. You know, it's interesting, is, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, is now that I know what Christ has accomplished for us, for me, I'm going to say this delicately. I don't function on a guilty conscience. Let me say it a different way. I don't walk around with a guilty conscience.
You don't dwell on it.
I don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
I don't. When I leave, you say, "Well, what do you do?" When you leave, what do you think? Okay, look at verse 9:14. He says, "How much more?" Okay, 13. For if the blood, look, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh.
The outward man.
Look, if those sacrifices could serve for cleansing. Right? He says, how much more? What do you know about the blood of bulls and goats?
Well, it isn't God's blood.
It isn't God's blood, which means what?
Inferior.
It's inferior. And Peter, he said, it's precious.
And it's not eternal.
And it's not eternal. Okay? So listen, 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? when you are aware of the nature of the sacrifice, or you know what, when you're
when you're
aware of the efficacy of the sacrifice. That's it produced the desired effect. We're gonna find out in the Hebrews when we go. Well, we're in Hebrews in 10, farther down in 10. He's gonna talk about why he had to have a different sacrifice. But when if we were Hebrews, when they see how much better, which is the theme, how much better that sacrifice was, then why bring a substitute? So we have the benefit today of looking back and seeing how perfect that sacrifice was. Is how it has continuing effects, and it should purge your conscience from dead works. So my spiritual life, I don't walk around on a short account system.
See, before we came here and learned about right division and all of that, and it was like, I guess I halfway wonder if I was even saved. I mean, it's because it was like, I, you know, you ask Christ into your heart. That's not how you get saved. You know God died for your sins, but that's just like, you just, it's like you believe in that phrase. You don't have any meat around it. You don't know the details. The
thing is, like you believed in it. It's just, yeah, you don't know the full details.
But like, I still ask God. I was praying every day, forgive me for this. It's like now, it's like a weight off your shoulders. Like, why have I been praying that when He's already died for all of it?
Right.
Good.
It's like the word grace just has been used so much. Like to me, like if you ask half the people that go to church, they probably don't even really understand grace.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody uses grace of God. You know, it's like
right.
Grace is used in tons of church names and brochures and stuff. But it's like people just, they don't really understand what it.
Like God is being gracious.
Because when you really believe it, it's like it does purge. You know,
yeah, you know, when I first...
You feel bad, but it's not like you feel like you need to go run to the confessional booth.
Mm-hmm.
Or
for me, I just go, thank you, Lord, that the body that I'm in now, with all its issues, is just temporary, and that there's something better, and I can't wait to be there, because mm-hmm. I hate this, you know.
And this is... what you have today. This is the privilege that you have to function with that kind of knowledge. Not the knowledge where, and I'm not saying, you know what, when I say I don't live my life on a short account system, it is if I do, when I do err in my walk. Yeah, you know, I don't sit down like, oh God, if you forgive me for this, I'll be a good boy after this. I don't continue my relationship with Him like that.
You don't stop your walk.
It
just hit me. It's the, if I'm understanding the way you're reading out this verse, He doesn't purge your conscience in a vacuum. He purges it from the dead works, and you're serving in knowledge of the truth in an identity that you now have.
That's how all believers should
right.
function.
So that's what I mean when he says he doesn't purge it in a vacuum, because if consciousness with knowledge, he's purging you from.
Right.
Old bad knowledge, inferior knowledge, but not in a vacuum because it's replaced.
You know, there's a verse that says, before we get back here, in Romans 6 it says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for we are not under the law, but under grace. And there's another verse that says, where there is, I think it's in James, where there is no law, there's no transgression.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well,
it almost sounds like he's not counting it.
Yeah, if there's no rules, and you can't be accountable.
If there's no rules,
anything's
what?
Okay.
You know what?
It's like all things are lawful, but not everything.
Thank you. That's
expedient. But that I used to, I mean, I'm just now starting to grow a little beyond what I used to think on that verse. Is I would think, oh well, you reap what you sow. But it's a little deeper than that. Meaning, I think that, you know, it's going beyond your fleshly desires or whatever, you're going into your spiritual walk, because not everything. Not everything edifies you and grows you up. So
right.
All things are lawful. You can do whatever you want, quote unquote, but you're not going to be growing and walking in the Spirit if you do certain things.
Right.
And God can't use you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say this, because this is the whole thing, is I was... I was at the other church Sunday. Whatever Sunday was. And the pastor, he's like, I'm going to talk to you before you go. And I might have said this. And he says, anytime you want to preach, let me know. He said, I know you, you know, got a lot of information. And, Okay, well, I'll say it again. And,
no, he told us this last week.
We might have a different point than last
week. Oh, that's right. He listened.
So, right. But,
see?
So he, right. So he said that, like, he said, you might have something in you, you know, like you have a sermon in you that's burning that you just got to get out. And I thought, you know, I'm thinking, number one, I'm never going to ask you that. Then I had to stop and say, you know what, I can't say that I'm never going to ask him that. Because it's not a Sunday or a Tuesday. I don't walk out of there thinking, I don't walk out of there thinking, I'm not saying this in a egotistical way, but I'm saying, you know what, that I have some information that everybody in here needs to hear. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not because I'm so smart, but they need to be liberated.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, like, and maybe not in this instance, but a lot of times, like, you know, just the way human nature is, it's like if he's saying, you know, if you want to get up there, it's almost like it's not really like, it's almost like, you know, ego gets in with preachers and like anybody, so you never know if he's just saying, doing you a favor, like, hey, if you want some FaceTime, you can go preach. It's not about the word. It's
just
right.
I would almost tell him, be careful what you wish for.
But that's why, you know, and the reason I don't want to do that because I don't like to be upfront like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like if it, whatever happens, it's got to be organic, you know. And then I also thought, you know, it's like we're supposed to redeem the time. We're supposed to buy up opportunities to, like Paul said, pray for me that for boldness that I might open my mouth boldly to speak as I ought to speak. So nobody, like if I had never met him and talked to him, I would have never been a Tuesday teacher. And if I would have said, you know what? If I would have said, you know what, I think it's a good idea. I want to preach next week. And then who knows where that.
Well, I was going to say, I really don't understand why you don't just do it.
You know what? You've been here long enough to kind of know my character. Then you know that I'm not a self-willed person.
You're shy, but not shy.
I'm assertive, I guess, when I have to be. But anyway, it's not. Let's get back. So, the reason I said that was this is because most people they don't think big enough. Where he doesn't realize, you know, maybe I think he's thinking this way. He wants to preach. I'm thinking this way. This has nothing to do with me. It's about the people. And in the doctor's side, I'm just a voice. And what I have to say, they need to hear. And you need to hear. So they think it's, you know what, I'll do my 60 minutes on the stage, right? And then, because we are still under the impression that it's about us.
Right. And then he says, okay, check. And I was like, you continue to preach for me, and you can have some conversations and edification and stuff.
So, okay. And now, get back to Hebrews here. Is this, here's what, most Sunday services, they're, you know what, they entertain, they encourage you, you know, it's about the people. Okay. It's, now, think about this. This is what, fleshly. You know, I was watching the news the other night, and, you know, I'm thinking that here's the world. You know, this is, do you realize that, you know, the focus is back in Europe and the Middle East now. And I'm thinking that's where the whole thing started. But reason I say that because nobody is putting it together that, I don't say nobody, is that God is doing something. Mm-hmm. The God of history is doing something. And you know what? We're in the fourth quarter. We've been in the fourth quarter for a long time. Mm-hmm. When I say fourth quarter,
the grace period.
Listen. Of the whole thing.
Of the whole, right. You're at the 69 weeks out of 70.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1 7-year period that's we are interrupting from happening, and it's been 2,000 plus years that this interruption has been there. From history, that from what God is doing. We talk about seven, and you know the seven, the covenants, is I got one more seven.
Well, not only that,
to go.
But we basically are somewhere.
Is it?
And we're around the 6,000 year mark from the garden.
So, but listen, you have to be thinking on God's schedule to realize that, you know what, this is, it's not about him getting me another car,
right,
or another house. It's, you know, this is history. This is his plan that's working out. And when you get to the Hebrews, that's what he's saying. Look, this old system, this is what one of the major steps is, to take the law away, mm-hmm, because that will enable you. Watch this verse. Verse 9. Look at 9:28. He says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of what?
Many.
Many. Why didn't he say all?
Only the ones that believe.
Why did he say many and not all?
Because he was referring to Christ as for the little flock, for Israel.
Because the people he's writing to are called what?
Hebrews.
The Hebrews. He's specific now. He's still specific with them. But we know, looking back, Paul says, let me tell you something. The sacrifice, it was for what?
It was for all.
It's for all.
And upon all them that believe.
So now, when the Hebrews, when they respond to it, they know. They become, they can be equipped to serve him and what he is doing. Okay? Verse 1. Did we get to 1? For the law, having the shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Continually. It had, and like Blake said, it was temporary. It didn't have lasting effects. For then would they have not ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience. They should have had no more conscience of what? You know, there's a verse in Romans that said this. Thanks be to God. I'm thinking of Corinthians. In Romans, he says, I think it is, thanks be to God that we have, by whom we have received the atonement. You know what an atonement is?
At-one-ment with the Lord.
That was the Day of Atonement, where they offered a sacrifice once a year that completely did away with all sins. Only problem is they came back what? They came back next year. But and Paul says in Romans 5, he says, thanks be to God that we have it. And not come back year after year. We have it once what? For all. We're still waiting
for it when he comes.
Eternal.
Fall feast.
That's what it is. But in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Why? Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wait a minute. Well, why'd they do it?
Faith.
Huh?
A demonstration of faith. And it was also the law of pedagogy. To point towards the real thing.
So it wasn't. He instituted it from the very beginning. Blood sacrifice. Atonement. You mess up, the wages of sin is still what?
Yeah.
From day one, it's still been what?
Something has to die.
Something. Somebody. You were just, he was Adam. He was just identified with the sacrifice. And anybody after that was identified with. You know what's funny?
First
Adam. I was thinking, you ever notice this? That I think we kind of all, most guys, people are shepherds. That's not their last name. That's what their occupation, the shepherds. Sheep herders. Shepherds. Do you notice that? They dealt with what? Sheep and cattle. All of them. Look. Adam. Mm-hmm. You know, when God told, he says he brought all animals to Adam and see what he would name him. And you know what he said? He brought all the fowl and all the cattle to. He could have just said animals, right? Just mm-hmm. And you would have got the picture. Adam, you say, well, he was a husbandman.
Mm-hmm.
What did he take into the ark?
Animals.
What did he sacrifice when he got out? He said, you know what he told Noah? He says, you take him into the ark.
By sevens.
So you, if nothing else, you know about Noah that he was what?
Shepherd.
He was a shepherd.
Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob.
You know what? When Joseph went into Egypt and Pharaoh, when they came into Egypt, his brothers, mm-hmm. he says, your servants have been shepherds from our youth. And you're thinking, okay, why?
Just the lower class.
Yeah. Oh, no, no.
Well, I mean, that's usually what they call them, though, right? They thought
Moses was definitely a shepherd.
He was definitely a shepherd, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about David?
He was a shepherd.
You ever thought about that?
Well, it was pretty much an agrarian society, so.
Yeah, growing up, I always just thought, like, you know, just because there's not the same kind of jobs here as now. I just thought back then, it's like, well, everybody just. Fished and
everybody did raise.
I know, but it's like in my head,
shepherds.
You don't really put shepherd as.
And look, before we get back here, he goes. The whole system is built on what? Sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get through going through the Old Testament, he starts talking about his people being like sheep. That have gone astray.
And then the shepherd gets sacrificed.
And he smite the shepherd and the sheep. Look, the very word, you know what sheep, this sheep is, and we're going to get back to this in a second. It just.
It's fine. Write it out.
Write it out.
Just make sure
okay.
You speak to it so that
those that listen on the internet.
Okay, well.
Know what you're writing.
Sheep. Sheep. The word sheep is
probaton.
Probaton. Well, we do get the word probate or probation from. What do we think about when you hear that word probate or probation?
Trouble. You're on probation. You're limited.
Limited. Right? What?
Trial.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. What were you saying, Blake? Limited what?
Probation is like, it's like you're on a timeout, limited. I can't think of the right words.
Okay. What are you on trial for? What is the person? What is the person?
Somebody's testing you out.
They're testing you, right? Paul was saying in Corinthians, you are just like a what?
Reprobate.
He tested
you. Reprobate.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get to it. What a sheep does is we just talked about it. He's always prone to wander. To go astray. And he's using them, his people, because they're prone to go astray from him.
Mm-hmm. Prime examples.
So he said, listen, he said, that's why when they all my people, the type that I'm putting them under is they will be shepherds. Mm-hmm. He goes to Moses, he was an Egyptian. Well, he was living in Egypt. And he took him out of Egypt. 40 years in the desert, and he's in the desert keeping sheep. 40 years, and he says, okay, now you're ready. To go what?
Shepherd.
To go lead the people out. And he said, you know what? There's another shepherd that's going to come like me. And Jesus, he said, I'm the what?
The shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep.
I'm the good shepherd. And Peter, he says, I'm the great shepherd. With a capital G. S. But he's, you know what? The whole thing is back to what we always talk about. You can't worship and serve him if you're not with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. One day I'll separate the what?
The sheep from the goats.
And so, of course, he doesn't use that terminology about us. He didn't say we're sheep. But the principle.
So when Paul says, but ye be reprobate, he say we're going back to our sheep.
You know what? And I'll say, because reprobate is this. Is not proof. Prove. We use it to prove for proof or to prove to validate.
Mm-hmm.
And you, if you're who you are, you say, you know what? This is what we deal with all the time. You're a believer. Well, if you're a believer, why are you doing those things that are not expedient?
Mm-hmm.
Expedient is this. You're here. Go there. If you wander, what happens?
Not expedient.
if you're wandering off,
mm-hmm.
He says, wait a minute. Somebody has to go what?
She heard them.
And do what?
Put them back on track.
Yeah.
What man having 100 sheep, and if one of them go astray, will he not leave the 99 and go and find that one? And I'm paraphrasing, and if he's not overjoyed by the recovery of that one. So,
you're on the shepherd. You're deciding pointing out all the shepherds.
Oh, why they offered the sacrifices, it was a type of what when in Hebrews when he said this, look at 10. 10:4. Good buddy. 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore? For this cause, because he knew that they couldn't, it couldn't happen. It wasn't, the blood wasn't able to do that. He says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, who's I? Who's speaking there?
Christ.
How do you know that?
Because he says, then said I, lo, I come the volume of the work, volume of the book to do thy will, O God.
Okay. I'm just checking. I don't want to say it, you know, have you. So
and before that it says the body has thou prepared for me.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a clue too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like
that's a right, a body. Who else would? So he's saying, I know you never were satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. He says, sacrifice and offerings, he says, you never wanted. He says, but a body thou hast prepared me.
To put an end to all the burnt offerings and sacrifices once and
okay.
for all?
He said, for offerings and sacrifices thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. That's key. That's key. To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. That's the whole is when you think about the Christ, he had to die is because his life was to be imputed to the believer. To look.
As
I'm trying to scale this.
Sacrifice.
I'm trying to scale this down. You know the bulls of the bulls the
blood.
Right, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, right? It could not purge your conscience, right? It could not make the comers perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It couldn't equip them to serve. Because as soon as he put that sacrifice down and walked off, guess what he did?
He then...
The offer. The priest and the people. What? The
his
people.
Was going.
Guess what he did?
Sin.
Yeah.
Right. He did what he wanted, right. And that was sin. So he didn't leave there and say, you know what, I'm going to serve the living God. You know what? Because when he put that down and turned around, then he had
613 more laws.
He had 613 laws that he could break.
Yeah.
Ooh, church is over.
Yeah.
Look.
Until next Sunday.
he couldn't get past the 10.
Yeah.
So don't worry about the 603 left.
Yeah.
That's not even a question. So Christ came. He says he come to do that. You know, it was interesting. Look at Psalm. Psalm, I should have wrote that down. 40. Psalm 40. Hold your hand there and look at Psalm 40. Now, y'all seem like y'all are pretty sharp tonight. I'm going to see if y'all pick this up.
Verse 7.
Let's see. Put this right here. 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear shall and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak unto them, they are more than can be numbered. See, setting the stage, the psalmist is talking about how good the Lord is to them. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, you just read Hebrews, right? What do you notice about those two passages?
The Lord is speaking.
The Lord is speaking, okay.
It's written in their hearts.
It's written in their hearts, okay.
Points to a later time, right?
All right, he says written in their hearts, okay.
Same as what he said.
That's it? Same what he said, you know? Is it?
Well, he didn't desire it there, and then he said it didn't cover your sin.
Okay. I'm gonna give you about 30, 40 seconds.
It's a long empty spot. That's on the tape recorder.
That's okay. The people that are listening, they're looking too. And some of them who are, you know what? They may have it already. They're probably at home saying, "This is it. This is what you're missing. Say it.
I know. Well, Sharon's at home and she's always talking to the recorder.
Thus, you know what?
Well, I've got in my notes where the Lord said in John, search the scriptures for them, in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify to me.
Okay. One of the verses in Psalms, it said,
my ear.
In Hebrews, it says what?
A body.
Do you notice that? In Psalms, he says,
sacrifice and offering thou hast desired. My ears hast thou opened.
My ears you have opened. And in Hebrews, he says, a body thou hast prepared me. Prepared. The chalk is too little. That's.
Well, there's a whole bunch of four pieces back there, which let me get to.
And then I'm writing too fast. Okay. You said, what's the difference? Now. Just for time's sake, it's in this.
Sorry.
This is he wasn't a giant ear walking around.
No, I'm talking about, you know, the different members of the body, but that's not even us yet, so never mind.
All right. Okay. Now, I'm going to read this. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Okay. Sacrifice, offering, verse what? An open ear. Okay? He says, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. So we still got the same burnt offering, sin offering. Verse what? Verse open ears. Okay? That's the contrast, right? Yes. Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's what he's contrasting, right? I don't want to sacrifice an offering. I want a what?
Open ear.
Okay. So you're like, wait a minute. What's an open ear? In Hebrews, he says, I don't want sacrifice and offerings. I want what?
A body.
A body. He says, a body to what?
Sacrifice.
A body to what? In the volume of the book is written of me.
To do thy will, O God.
Thank you. To do what? And might as well throw that right. Because that's what it all boils down to. So what does he do in his body? How long? Three. She said 3 years. He only started at 30. He just started at 30. That's it.
No.
Wait a minute. I'm getting real lost here. You've got the first contrast.
Ooh.
What's the second contrast?
What? Just
right in different places.
This is. He didn't want sacrifice and offerings, right?
Right.
He wanted open ear. Okay. Hebrews said he didn't want sacrifice and offerings. He wanted what? A body. And you said the body was to do his will, which we know that's to worship and serve him. All right. Real quick here. Exodus 20.
Before you do that real quick.
Okay.
When I hear, like, the ears has now opened, it almost just seems like, it's like, I don't want sacrifices, I want the body. So that's why I want to say,
yeah, but what does he want the body for?
Service.
Okay.
That's why in Hosea they said, receive us graciously and we'll render the calves of our lips.
Okay, that's close. Now listen, why did they even have to offer this? Why did they have to offer?
Because
the shedding of blood was necessary.
Why?
Because
he said so.
It was necessary. Why?
To purge for
atone for
sins. For what? For what?
Sins.
Atone for sins, right? Why were they sinning? What's the opposite?
Because it's in their DNA.
They missed it, right?
Yeah.
If they were worshiping and serving him, do you think they would miss the mark?
No, because you can't do.
Would they need this if they were worshiping and serving him?
No.
That's why he said you were never pleased with it. He said what you want is what? That's the key right there. That's the disconnect right there. Exodus 21.
I got to tell you, I know there's a lot of good stuff in here, but you're all over the place.
Nah, that's going to make good sense.
I mean, even if they're serving and worshiping, they still have a sin nature. So they're still going to have a sin.
Did the Lord have a sin nature?
No, he didn't.
Okay, all right.
He promised.
That's why he said that I come into what?
The body.
Okay.
Exodus 21. Let's see. We got 5 minutes.
Because he.
This is a principle. 21:5, 21:4, 21:1. Okay. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Here's what we want. And if the servant shall plainly say, I what? That's key. I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free.
I will serve.
Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or open the doorpost, and his master shall what?
Bore his ears.
Through with an awl, and he shall what?
Serve him forever.
If.
So here he opens his ear with an awl.
Okay, now. But it's symbolic.
Yeah.
All right, Exodus. Isaiah. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50:4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth
my ear.
Why didn't he say, you waken my eyes?
The ear is understanding.
He wakeneth my ear to what?
To hear
as what?
As the learn.
The Lord God hath opened what?
Ear.
Mine ear, and I was not. She's not even on it. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And look at the next verse. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And he goes on to talk about what really happened on the cross. This is a prophecy. So you look at that. The open ear is a person that's completely dedicated to worship and service. And that's why he said it was never possible for the blood and bulls and goats to do it, because look, God is still, he still requires perfection. He won't compromise his standard just because you can't meet it. But his son says, I can meet it. I can meet it for him. He says, I want to use them, but they won't get out the way. And, you know, the son, in the fullness of time, he comes and he says, I'll do it. What do you need done? He says, it's a big job. It's a big job. For the sins of the world. And he comes and he keeps it. That's what he says. He opened my ear. Everything God wanted, he did. Everything he asked, the Son accomplished it. Everything. And so he didn't have to offer a sacrifice. We know from Hebrews, he was the sacrifice that was a once for all sacrifice. This is just amazing. It's just amazing to me. This, he was the priest. That might be wrong. He was the Lamb. Right? Or the sheep who did not wander. He was the shepherd. The whole system that he replaced, he took the parts of every part in that system to do away with it. You understand what I'm saying? Let me. Every weak link, he became the strong link in it for the new system, the New Testament. So whatever these couldn't do, he came and he perfected it. He was the perfect priest, the perfect sheep, the perfect shepherd. To take care of all. Then what he could do is, when it's done, that's why he could say this. He, by the eternal offering, through the eternal spirit, he perfected forever those that come to him by faith. Because everything he did,
he can offer us freely.
He offers freely.
By faith.
All right.
That what he did satisfied all those things.
Last verse. Well, one more verse. I love this verse. Look at it. Hebrews. We're in Hebrews. Hebrews. I think it's 5. Let's see.
So is Hebrews like a bridge
two
book?
Yeah, Hebrews 2. Huh?
Sort of like Acts is a bridge book because it's the decline of Israel, but it also explains
the transition
to the body. And Hebrews, doesn't it kind of answer for that little flock, but it also is the answer for the future for that? It's a bridge, sort of a transition, sort of.
Right.
Like.
It's a, for them.
It explains where it left off and where it's picking back up.
Exactly. That's why.
They're not letting go of the law, so he's trying to show everything that y'all held dear from this point on backward, he's better than. Mm-hmm.
You know what?
And you got one last chance.
You know what it's like? It's like trying to get blood out of turnip. It's like, you know what? You can squeeze it, you can grind it, you can mash it.
That take you out of the question.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
You know what? You can stick with it and hope that it's productive. You know what? But you know,
there's something better.
There's something better. Watch this.
And what's the verse
about? I love this verse.
What is it?
Hebrews 5.
5 what?
7. Okay. 6. 5, 6. Okay. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Here's what I want. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now you're like, wait a minute. But But you know what? I said one more, didn't I? That's two. Hebrews 2. 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now you think about, he through death delivered them who all their lifetime were subject to fear. You know what? Am I doing enough? Did I do enough? You know, when people who are not familiar with the sacrifice, when they get to their deathbed, you know what they say?
I hope I
made it. I hope I did enough that the Lord is pleased with me. You don't have to worry about it. You didn't.
Never will.
Because they don't realize that through death, through his death, he was able to perfect them. All he's waiting now is to listen. Will you trust it? He says, I've done everything that was required. The law is not even a question for righteousness. That's why he's telling the Hebrews, here, listen, if you turn away from this, there's nothing to go back to. There remaineth no more sacrifice. Okay, we're done. Listen. When I sit down and read, I have the uttermost joy. Because I know what I have. I know who I am. I know what he's done for me, to me. And
that we can trust him.
That's all. You know what? When I meet somebody, I say, listen, whatever the hang up is. You know, sometimes you know what, people are not where you are, and that's okay. You just have to, you know what? After a while, when you get a little more learning, and like this, Paul said, I've learned to be content. Okay, like you say this, listen, Paul said, my grace, I besought the Lord thrice for this. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Paul said, therefore,
look, you know
what?
Listen, you're too far. Look.
It's not about you.
He's saying, this is your rope, right? Here you are.
You're at the end of it.
That's you. He don't want you there. He don't want you up there. He said he wants you right there.
Mm-hmm. With one tiny thread hanging.
He said, because you realize then there's no way I can do this in my strength. Look.
You depend on yourself, you're not depending on him.
Mm-hmm. He said, my strength is made perfect. That means it reaches its desired end
when you are
at your weakest. He said, look, as long as you can do it, I can't do it. As long as you can do it, I can't do it.
That's why he waited like till Abraham was past age.
All that makes, because look,
barren.
If you got a 1% chance that you can do it,
you can say,
guess what you're going to do?
We'll try.
You're going to put that 1% in.
Yeah.
like Richard Jordan said, if all you had to do was wiggle your little pinky again, you'd be going around heaven showing everybody how you can wiggle your little pinky.
So, and that, it didn't make sense to me as I, but I, as I'm getting older, I see a lot of things. Is like I used to ask my pastor, I was like, how you do this? How you do it? And he say, he would just say, trust the Lord, trust the Lord, trust the Lord, son. I'm like, that ain't good enough. And you go home, and you go home, and you're like, there's an answer in here somewhere. You read and try to find the answer. Now that I'm older, yeah. Oh man, it's, now I know. Now I know is my, I might say, you know what? Just be strong in His grace. For a person who's not there, but you know what? That's okay. Just put it up there, and one day you'll be like, this ain't good. This ain't working. Where's that grace? I know I put that. He told me be strong in that grace. And when you, you know what? Where is, and you get it, you're like.
That's what's so funny. People always try to.
I had it all along.
Yep. People try to pray through their circumstances and try and change their circumstances, and Paul's like, no, you grow in your sufferings and your tribulations. His grace is sufficient. So that's how you grow, and that's how you become more charitable.
Well, that's how you witness to the power that's within you, because you have your joy and peace in the midst of your circumstances.
That's how you tap into it.
You know what?
Just because you think that you're, just because it's in your head that this needs to go this way, it doesn't, that don't mean that God has.
Yeah.
Like the apostles, like the first time I ever realized, it's like, you know, they were, the 12 were, you know, just growing up, you always just, in your head, you're just like, oh yeah, all the apostles are all friends, they all belong. And then you learn that, you know, they have their old school way of the 12, and then, you know, the next thing you know, a new apostle pops up, and they're not in the loop.
Right. Listen. You
know, it's like, it's God's plan, and we don't.
Everybody needs this. Everybody needs this grace. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. So, all right, let's stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray as we leave here just for your word to marinate in our hearts and minds, that you might bring forth fruit for our understanding as we continue to meditate on these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.